My name's Andrew and I'm an alcoholic. The only thing interesting about my drinking is that it went on for so long, and throughout that whole period, I would have denied that I had a problem and certainly that I was an alcoholic. It was at least 40 years between my first blackout and my last. Being a male born at the time I was brought up to know that men had to be unemotional, the strong, silent type, and that drinking lots of alcohol was compulsory as part of the transition from boy to man. And I took to that like a duck to water. I started drinking as a 15-year-old, and right from the outset, I seemed to have a propensity to it. I worked hard at learning to drink more, harder, faster, longer, and problems started. The alcohol also had the advantage, I now realize, of stopping me having any sort of feelings or emotions, particularly as I was starting to go through that very scary time of adolescence and meeting things like girls. And so my drinking from the get-go was, to a certain extent, always heavy drinking to the with the intent of complete drunkenness. Now, of course, as a 15-year-old, the ability to do that was very limited to sort of like one day a week because I had to go back to school. And so it wasn't really a major problem. It was not completely uncommon in those days for many of us to sort of speak almost proudly of our level of intoxication. I now know that throughout my drinking, I was one of those alcoholics who was fine if I had no alcohol in my system at all. Then I could function, behave reasonably normally, and get through life. Conversely, if I had one drink, I wanted two. If I had two, I wanted four. If I wanted four, had four, I wanted eight. And any suggestion that I might stop at some stage was completely and utterly rejected. My brain simply said, "Don't tell me what to do. Give me another drink." And as my life went on, the times when that happened got more and more regular. And my drinking became a bit of a problem to everybody but me. I thought it was still quite normal. A lot of people I knew drank as I did. Well, certainly when they were with me, they drank as I did. In about my 40s, I suffered what today I suppose is called a midlife crisis or whatever, with a level of depression and all sorts of things that set me on the track of counselors, therapists, workshops, all that stuff that back in those days we called it personal growth or self-transformation. And while I spent a lot of time, a lot of money on such things, they didn't help me with the underlying problem, which was the drinking. And that was something I didn't want to confront, or sorry, I didn't confront until in my mid-50s. At that stage, some things combined. My daughter, who was then in her 20s, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And to make that a bit easier, we decided to take her and her then boyfriend, now her husband and father of three of my grandchildren, on a holiday. But my wife quietly mentioned to me that my daughter had made it abundantly clear that if I got drunk on this holiday, the chances that she would put up with it and talk to me again were pretty limited. But she'd had a gutsful, and if my behavior continued the way it was, she was going to cut me off. Now, I've got to say that I was absolutely amazed. How could this be? Now, I'd had experience in the past of giving up drinking. I used to tell the joke all the time that I gave up drinking, every day. I just went back drinking the same day. But equally, there were times I can remember as a family, we all stopped drinking for a month. Isn't that hard? But I knew very well that at the end of that month, I was going back drinking. So anyhow, knowing that this was coming up to something of a watershed, I decided that yes, the time had come to control my drinking. So I did that for a couple of weeks before we went on holiday. Had absolutely no control ability at all, and got on the plane to go on the holiday with the worst hangover and worst blackout I'd had probably since my first one 40 plus years earlier. But I got through the 10 days of the holiday without drinking. It wasn't so bad. But I knew coming back that the first time somebody said, "Andrew, do you want a drink? Want a beer?" I'd certainly have one. That there was no way that was I ready to stop drinking, nor did I need to. At the same time, I knew I had to do something. And I had been told about Alcoholics Anonymous. And any number of people, I can remember one of my early counselors saying, "Andrew, you might have a drinking problem." I said, "Well, if I have, what do I do about it?" He said, "Go to AA." I said, "But hang on, they mean you can't drink at all. I'm not going there." And then other people, cads and the like. So I thought I would go to AA. Well, one of the reasons I didn't want to go to AA was that I knew nothing about it other than what I'd seen on the TV and the like. And the impression I had was a bunch of moaning old guys sitting around dying for a drink, spilling their guts about what life was a bitch and everything else, and hanging out all the time. And being firmly convinced that I was one of the smartest people I ever knew, it certainly wasn't for me. But I thought that being the wonderful, happy to learn, liberal type person, I'd go to AA and just see if they could give me a few pointers. That being as smart as I was and having done all the counseling and everything I'd done, a few pointers, I'd be able to change my way of thinking and carry on living and drinking without getting drunk. So I looked around for these AA meetings and I found one that was close enough that they'd still be a bit like me, but not so close that they might recognize me. And I went along thinking that, like every other place I'd been, when you turn up at these places, somebody would meet and greet you, tell you what happened, take you out the back, sign you up for the 6-week introductory course, that I would do that and never go back again, and I'd be cured and fixed. Now, I don't remember a whole lot of that first meeting. What I do remember is that when I arrived, everybody was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, talking around. Male, female, young, old, brown, white, pretty, ugly, all sorts of things. And then on the dot of the time, somebody stood up and the meeting started. People started talking. And they were saying things that I thought only I had even thought about their drinking. They talked about their drinking, which in many cases was so similar to mine, and they said they were alcoholics. So the penny started to drop. I started to realize that there was a possibility that my brain wasn't telling me the truth all the time. It may, in fact, have been lying to me. I also saw people there who were proud of the fact that they'd been going to these meetings for years. And I thought, "You poor suckers, how stupid could you be? You know, I'm here for 6 weeks. I'll pick this up in 6 weeks and then I'll be off on my way." So I left that meeting totally confused. People had spoken in a way I'd never heard people speak before. And then at the end of it, some people said hello to me, come back again, and we all went home. I'd had a cup of coffee and a bicky. My wife said, "So how was it?" I said, "Well, I've got no idea, really. I'm totally confused, but I think I might go back again." So I started to go back, and initially, I have to say that I was probably the most cynical person I could ever hope to meet. As far as I was concerned, I realized it was all gobbledygook sent to suck me in and get my twisted brain and grab me as a member. And then I saw that God word and I knew they were coming for one tenth of my income and everything else, and that I had to buy it lock, stock, and barrel. Now that caused me a number of problems, and that part of it itself was a real problem for me, and still to some extent still is. Because I heard people say, "Oh, look, Andrew, get over the God word. It doesn't matter. It's a God if you understand. It doesn't mean anything. You can call it a group of drunks or good orderly direction or whatever." It didn't help me. I heard somebody in a meeting saying, "When you're shaving in the morning, look at that person in the mirror. Is that person looking back at you the most powerful thing on earth? And if the answer to that is no, he's not, then I'm believing that there's something more powerful than me." And that academically or intellectually made a lot of sense to me. And I could buy into it. And I only wish that the writers of our book, big book, had found some other word for the higher power than God, giving their history, Because as I kept reading the book, and then I, you know, because the thing that I learned in my early days was that, one, I was alcoholic. And basically, there was probably nothing I could do about it. And it wasn't a lack of willpower or whatever. Probably no human power could fix that. And I had to do something else. And then they said, but God could and would if he was sought. And I thought, ah, bloody hell, they're bringing in that God thing. I now know that I have a hang up on the word, and I don't go even behind the word to what it means. I have no doubt at all in my mind, in my whole being, that there's a power greater than me out there. I'm still not as comfortable with the word God or even higher power than I would like to be, but it doesn't worry me. And I know that for the majority of people, when they use that term, they mean this thing that I choose for my life. And I've heard people who talk of their God as the AA meeting itself. That was one I liked very much because every time I went to an AA meeting, I felt a hell of a lot better when I walked out than when I walked in. And if that wasn't something spiritual, it was certainly something more powerful than me. And my life has just got better and better. And the things in this program are now just part of who I am and where I go. I remember when I first read the big book, I thought, hang on, these bastards have been watching me. They've been spying on me. How do these guys, a couple of generations and a whole half of the world away, know me so well? And that was the biggest shock and surprise that I was a common, ordinary, everyday drunk, that I had alcoholism. There was nothing I could do about it. But if I did certain things, I didn't have to drink again. I maybe had to clean up my act. That's rather transformed now to I know now that alcohol was not, well, it certainly was my problem, but it also solved a lot of my problems, at least in the early days. So the problem wasn't the alcohol. The problem was that I was a dysfunctional asshole who solved matters by drinking through them, took care of any emotion. Whether I was happy, I drank. If I was sad, I drank. If I was sad, I drank. If this happened, I drank. If I was angry, I drank. Didn't matter, I drank. And that solved the problem until it didn't. And it meant that as I got on and I was drinking more and more and stuffing up my life more and more, my emotions were no better and I was just heading down a one-way street and I'd had enough. That old line is I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I was one of the lucky ones. I haven't had a drink since the first meeting I went to. And I'm now at the situation where one of the things that interests me is my friends, my old drinking friends and everything else, or people that I'm pretty open about the fact that I go to AA meetings. They say, do you need to still go to those meetings? I'm never quite sure how to answer it because the short answer is I know that if I stop going to AA and dealing with AA, there's a pretty good chance I'd finish up drinking again. But that's not why I went to the meeting last night or Sunday before. I went there because that's where I like to go. This is where my friends are. These are where people I know go to, and they tell the truth and they do the best they can. And there are old people, there are young people, there are pretty girls, there are ugly old men, there are silly old people. There are some people I disagree with completely. That's the wonderful thing about it. The basic premises of what we're doing and supporting each other and not judging each other is wonderful. And it's a fellowship that has followed me all around New Zealand and, in fact, further overseas. Because the thing is, the moment I walk into an AA meeting, wherever it is, and they're happy to see me, and they will go out of their way to be friendly and nice to me. And that is a wonderful place to be. AA is now. Well, I don't know. I think for an old man like me, it's just a wonderful place to go and share with a wide diversity of people, all of whom are doing the very best they can and trying to be honest, and many of them are confronting huge, major issues, and to a huge degree, without the need of any mind-altering drug at all. So overall, it is completely the reverse of most organizations I've ever been with. There are no leaders. There are no bosses. There are attempts to organize it, and some of them work and everything else. But it has worked now for close to 90 years, is it? And it's gone from strength to strength. And each alcoholic does it the way they want to do it. Each meeting does it the way they want to do it. And overall, as a group, we just get bigger and bigger, and more people are benefiting from it. When I came into AA, I started to change my whole life around as I started to work through time and time again the principles of this program. And to take those ground rules, that what I'm talking about is believing that there is something more powerful than me, that something has some influence in my life, that I cannot control even the most mundane thing in my life, let alone how other people behave or don't behave. And that, coupled with the steps of working out who I'd harmed, the taking away of my shortcomings, down to following the maintenance program, that when I just made a mistake, instead of having to worry about it or lie about it, I could just immediately ring up and say, "Sorry, I made a mistake." And that's what's happened. And then the 12th step, I have no doubt that I've had a spiritual awakening. What it was or when it was, it certainly wasn't the whistles and bells. It was simply one time when I realized I was staying in my right lane on the road instead of heading up the faster lane on the inside and cutting them off at the corner. That somewhere along the line, I was accepting things. And all sorts of things have changed in my life since then. Since then, my life has just got better and better. AA is the most important, significant thing in my life today. It's the most significant thing I've ever done in my life. What I'm happy for is the fact that throughout my whole time in AA, and going to meetings after meetings, so on and so forth, I've never got bored. And that I've always heard consistently and regularly something I've never heard before. It's like a light bulb going off. And that I continue to learn and grow in this program by following the 12 steps. And to me, they are just the way of life and living. And they are my philosophy of life, particularly as an alcoholic.